Let us begin this service by singing number 80. 1, 2, and 3. 80. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name, O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. Number 80, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We will read to you from God's holy word, Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my foot in a last room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy that thy hand brought us together in this evening round about the candlestick of thy eternal word and testimony. Notwithstanding the roads and the weather, there is no sun that was privileged with us to come up under thy word. Those that shall be here with their heart in this evening, but having no opportunity and afraid on account of the dangerous roads, we commend them at thy throne, that it may please thee to visit us together in this evening, and to open thy word and testimony for our mind and for our heart, and that it may please thee that the mysteries of faith be opened for us together in speaking and in hearing, and that we receive an undeserved and so necessarily blessing. What a blessing too, Lord, that thou knowest how poor and how empty that we are in ourselves, and that without thee that we can do nothing, but only in the strength of Christ, the King of the kings and the Lord of lords, then everything is possible for those that believe. Give us in this evening that our gathering was not a burden unto us, but that it was to an eternal blessing, and that we may receive a place under thy word for our heart and soul, and that we may receive some of the power of it, but also taste the sweetness of it, and that it for all of us, young and old, great and small, that it was to an eternal blessing. Thou art not obliged to give us something, because we have separated ourselves from thee, And we have made that separation by our own sins. And thou knowest what our daily life is, forgetting the Lord, days without number. But come over all the mountains and over all the hills, and speak to our soul for the first time and by renewing, and that in this evening the glory of Christ be set before us in every way as a Son of God's eternal love, in whom thou art well pleased, and out of his fullness at thy church receive grace for grace. Strengthen and sustain us to speak some edifying words in this evening, and that the joy of the Lord be the gladness of our heart and the strength of our soul. Remember those that are in the hospital, that mother who was operated, and also that son that is laying there still unconscious. Oh, give nog een prayer for him and for his family too. In all the deep ways in which the hand of the providence had laid him, oh, may it nog wel, thou art a God who can perform wonders. Where all the doctors have to say we don't know, but oh Lord, gladden their hearts, and that it for that boy, if he came to and be restored, that he never would forget it, that even the parents and he, that they could say it was good for me to be afflicted. Our life that is here in life full of troubles, but if we receive grace in our heart, then it is all temporary. As we have heard and spoken in this day, what the expectation is for thy people, known by thee from all eternity. And if then the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, washes and cleanses from all our sins, as also that friend and elder has declared before he died, oh, then everything is forgotten in 1 minute, in 1 second. And they shall not have desire to ever come back here in this wilderness. And here in the tents of Kedar, where it is nothing else than all disappointments. Oh Lord, remember that mother, that widow, in their lonesome life, where they were married for so many years together in love and unity, and the children be strengthened also. That sister and that brother who is with us in this evening, who had buried her brother yesterday, we commend them also at thy throne. There are several now already taken away by the hand of death, and some so much younger as they were. But there come a time for each and every one that if we have to leave our earthly abode, oh, prepare us together to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, forgiving all our sins and all our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 96. Your offering will now be taken. Number 96. Rest in the Lord and be thou still. With patience wait his holy will. Enduring to the end, fret not to sinners gains increase. Forsake thy wrath from anger cease, it will to evil tend. Number 96. This evening, I will speak to you out of the Word of God, 2 Samuel 9, verse 9 to 13. Then the king called to Sheba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Sheba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Sheba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Sheba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. This was. Beloved congregation, we have heard some weeks already something about the history and the life of Mephibosheth and especially that kindness that the Lord had shown to them, to him, for Jonathan's sake. It was for David a joy that he had taken that Mephibosheth in the city and had given him a place also at his table. There was nothing of Mephibosheth that was the reason. It was all David, and it was all for the covenant. Mephibosheth, he had bowed twice before the king. Once with much fear, because he thought he shall kill me. That was what he expected. But later on, then he bowed again before the king. And then it was in deep humiliation on account of what David had told him. He would restore to him all the land of his father Saul, and then to eat bread at his table continually. For himself, he declared that he was nothing else than a dead duck. And in Israel, I told you the last time, they thought nothing about a duck, nothing. They were always despised. And then, of course, a dead duck, that was less too. And that was now the place that Mephibosheth took. But now, this evening, we have in the first place here a commission that the King David gave to Ziba, the servant of Saul. That Ziba was a steward for Mephibosheth. We know out of other texts in the Bible that Saul was a man with much substance. You read about him that he had many fields, that he also had many vineyards. You read never in the Bible that he was so rich as Abraham was, but still he had much to take care for himself and to take care for his family and for all his servants. And now all the possessions of that soul, David gave it back to that Mephibosheth. And then, of course, Mephibosheth, he was lame on both his feet. Thus, it was impossible for him to do any work. He was sitting there, and he was sitting there from one day to another, from one week in another. 'Twas for the rest of his life, after that he was 5 years old, that that accident took place. Thus, he could do nothing, that man. But now David gave not only back to that Mephibosheth all the land of Saul, but he gave also a steward who would take care for it. That man, the Ziba, he had 15 sons and 20 servants. And now, of course, David's intention that was that Mephibosheth had a quiet life. He had not to fill his head and his heart with all those temporal things. He had Ziba, and of course he take care for everything. Mephibosheth itself, he had one boy, Michael, and that boy that married later on, and then you read in the Bible that that boy had 4 sons, and they planted forth the house of Saul, even till the days after the captivity. And now you can realize his wife, Mephibosheth's wife, needs something. That boy that needs something. And all the servants that were given to Mephibosheth, they have also to eat and to drink. For them was, of course, that land and those vineyards, the upbringing of it, what there came out of those fields and vineyards, that was to take care for the family of Mephibosheth, but also that was enough and maybe more than enough for that big family of Ziba, because you can well realize for 15 boys and for 20 servants, then you need something. Thus you can well make up this evening out of this text that there were many fields and many vineyards that were given to that Mephibosheth. And then, of course, that easy life that now was given to that Mephibosheth, that he had no care the farther part of his life for anything. In other words, there was almost nothing in his life that had to bother him. You would say, humanly speaking, his breath that was bought. And that is, of course, something in this world. We cannot say that from everybody. Because most of the people that have to work for their daily bread. There is even people in the world that have to figure out so much in their life to live from one week in the other. But now Mephibosheth, he had no bothering at all. Of course, that Ziba, he accepted the commission that David lay upon his shoulders. But later on, then we shall hear, if the Lord not spared us, out of 2 Samuel 19, that Saul misused that commission and the calling for which that David had called him, because finally he was Mephibosheth's enemy. But at that time, we can realize nothing about it. Then you would think, even that Saul, he was an humble man. But later on, then it came out that was not so. And of course, also this part of this chapter that had a spiritual meaning. A wonderful spiritual meaning for the church of God. In the first place, that now the Lord give back to his people what they have lost in paradise. Because that chapter that speaks also that Jonathan fell when he was 5 years old, and that refers to the fall of Adam. In paradise, in the state of innocency, that we were living in communion and fellowship with the Lord, and that we have no cares for anything than only to live in communion with God. But we have lost that all people. And then the greatest trouble in our life is that by nature, that we have no eyes to see what we have lost. That we are not concerned about it at all. Well concerned about worldly things, and well concerned how that we shall go through this world, but no concern for what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. I say this evening already in the beginning, that all that Mephibosheth had received in his life, that was nothing else than the favor of David towards him, on the basis of that covenant that there was between David and Jonathan. This Mephibosheth, he had nothing to do with it. And for God's people, it is also free and sovereign grace, all that they receive. They have not worked for that. They have not prayed for that. They have even not sighed for that. It is given them out of free and sovereign grace. That become for all God's people a wonder. And still something else. There is so many people in the church that speaks about a miracle. But later on, then there is nothing left of that miracle. Nothing. Is it gone? Yes, it is gone, because it was only a profession of their lips and of their mouth. But it was not with their heart. For God's people is it different. Why? For that reason, congregation, that the Lord brings that people back to the deep fall in Adam. And more, they receive an insight in their life wat hij bekam bij zin, bij de zin of Adam. Je hebt never heard any child of God in the world that have said in his life that they were so satisfied with himself. But instead of that, the people that is more and more condemning himself. And more you shall hear out of their mouth that they shall say what an eternal wonder that the Lord had ever looked upon me in mercy and in compassion. But that is that free and that sovereign grace, people, that the Lord glorified in the heart of his children. On outside, it is a disappointment because they can find nothing in himself. Sometimes they are feeling themselves so empty of the Lord and all that is of the Lord, that there comes many times a question that rises up in their heart, whether that there well ever was something of the Lord in their heart. There are times enough that they cannot see no difference between them and the world. And not only that, but that they are afraid that they are less than the world. That even worldly people is much better than that they are. And then they say, Lord, what shall now become the end of me? What shall become the end of me? We have to learn so many lessons in our life that it is not in us. And that it never shall come in us. I have well heard in my younger days, early days, that all people of the Lord said that there were times that heaven did not refresh them and that hell did not scare them. And then you would say, how? How is that now possible? But that happens, and that are lessons which are so necessary in our life, that they learn that the Lord had never done it because they were so laboring with it, that the Lord never had done it because they were crying with so much power to the Lord, and that their heart goes out to him. There are times enough when they say, Lord, there is totally nothing. Nothing. Mephibosheth was before an enemy. David was his greatest enemy. And if he was his even ears, humanly speaking, and you ask that lame Mephibosheth, in all his wretchedness, but because it was outwardly you would say, but there's now a man that cannot walk. That is lame on both feet. If you now would ask that Mephibosheth this evening, that you say, boy, tell me now, when you was living there in Lodabar, how many times have you cursed that David? Hey. Yeah. How many times have you cursed that David? And that you say, oh enemy, that you are. Oh, my dear friends, is it possible that we lay open our heart as it is before men? No. That's impossible. And I know there is so many people that is so good in the world. Oh, there is people that really, for their own imagination, that they have never done anything what was wrong in their life. They are so righteous. They are so righteous in himself. And if you now come to a poor child of God, what then? Then they say, oh man, my whole life that is wrong. And that was wrong. My whole life. I had grieved the Lord, nothing else. From that I came in the world to this time. And seems that now become worse and worse. Ook nog. Yes. If that now became as better than we become old. That we are delivered of that sinful flesh and blood. And that character that we have. But no worse. Before that boat, that ship, you read about it in Psalm 107. Before that come in heaven, in the harbor, then the devil, together with our evil heart, that made so much trouble, people, so much trouble, that it is impossible to tell it on the pulpit. To tell it on the pulpit. And then there is people enough in our days that when they hear that they would say that must have well embed many. And that must have well embed whom? Who is talking in such a manner? No. But it is now people that know himself. And that is brought in a school where the Lord teaches them three things. Self-knowledge, knowledge of God and knowledge of Christ. And those lessons they keep on continually and continually. And if we die, people, for ourselves, I hope that you can follow it. When we die, then we are ready to go to hell. On account of all that we are realizing in our heart and in our soul. But that now the Lord, without asking, without praying, without sighing and without crying, that he give back in his eternal decree already. Because the Lamb is slain before the foundation of the world. And you read in Psalm 139 that it was all written in his book before that an Adam and an Eve was born. Then it was all firm in God's eternal decree. And it is right, people. We are disappointed with ourselves. But the Lord is never disappointed with his people. In that respect, that he has had known what man is. And what man remains. And that there is never any expectation. Dus then you can realize what a wonder and what a joy that it is for that people when the Lord promised him to give back that inheritance that they have lost in paradise. And what is now that inheritance? That is now finally with all that is involved, that is that sweet communion with the Lord. That they taste that the Lord is good. That the Lord is merciful. That the Lord is slow to anger. And that it was in his heart from all eternity to draw him out of this world. And that he could not find the pleasure here in this world. but that they were privileged by the grace of God, that one thing became for them the importance, and that one thing that is to be restored in communion and fellowship with God. And if we now are laboring with that boys and girls, children, oh, I hope it from the bottom of my heart. I hope it from the bottom of my heart, children. The time is so short. The time is so short. But that death now is bound upon our heart and our soul. I bear it once as a man in Rotterdam. I think it was in the first visit that I made from this country to the Netherlands in 57. And then when the boat came on, there came an elder. He said to me, "Can you go immediately with me, because there's an elder that is dying, and he had a desire to see you now some moment." And I go. But we go to his house, and that man was in the hospital. There he died. And then we hear he was gone already. Dus I have not seen him. But I fell on the funeral and I talked to him. And when he was a boy, then Reverend Pieneman was there. And he visited his mother, that was a widow. And that Pieneman, he asked his mother about that boy. He was maybe 16, 17 years old then. And that mother, she said, "Come, Dominee, come. Come. He is in his room. And maybe you can hear him." And they came upstairs by that room, and they listened on that door. And there, that boy that lay there, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Pieneman, he said, "Hey," to that mother, "oh," she said, "there is hope for that boy. There is hope. Because all those that cry out of their heart to him, to the Lord, he shall answer. And now all that the world gives and offers people, it is all bitterness. It is all nothing. But who findeth me, findeth life. And obtain mercy from the Lord." And the younger that we are privileged to that, oh, the more blessed that it is, people. We shall have never regret of it, no. One kiss of Jesus' mouth, that is more than the whole world, more. And that he speaks to our soul, and that there are times in our life, oh, that he opened the banquet house, and that he brings us in his inner chamber, and that the love of the Lord filled our heart, people. Oh, and then there are people who say, "Oh, there's nothing outside of that, because by thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light." And then it came out, years lay between people. Oh, that is so dry, and that is so cold, and that is so barren, and that it is so far away. Oh, yeah. That we say, "Lord, shall it ever come back in my life, ever come back?" And when I give it up, then the Lord is there to bring it back. Yeah. And that I taste his love and his favor in my soul. And that the joy of the Lord is the strength of my heart. You read that in the Bible. I mentioned that so many times to you already. Oh, maybe you say, "Oh, yeah, that's it, said so many times. Oh, but oh, take it more from me, of me, out of love. That now, my. After 10 years that he had not tasted the bread of Bethlehem, but here, in the back of the throat, there that taste was still there." She said, "Immediately we go back." As he had no house, as he had nothing, but she go back. Yeah. And so it is with that people too. The Lord give that people back what they have lost. Take away that distance that there is between the Lord and the soul. And before that we receive it back, people, then that distance that is so great. That is so great that we have else, that we have said in our life, else, Lord, I think, I believe, that I am farther from you as the east from the west, and as the north from the south. But when the Lord came, oh, then that distance that was taken away by myself, by the law, by the works of the law, no. By that blessed mediator and savior. And now not only that Mephibosheth he received back what he had lost, but he was privileged to eat continually at the table of David. You read that not about his wife or his boy, but well about Mephibosheth. And now, he was as one of the children of David. And you can realize that the King David, he made no difference between his own sons and between the boy of Jonathan. No. He had the same right. He had the same privilege. And then you will say, yeah. How was that now possible? A man lame on both of his legs. Yeah, I have not so good word at the present time for it. But I would say, yeah, if that now nog was is a beautiful man. That you say, what an intelligent person toch. What an hell for that king. He can type and he can write and he can handle and he can sell and he can buy. He can do so much in the favor of the king. But he could do nothing. Nothing. We cannot do nothing. No. And oh. I say sometime on the pulpit, oh, if we know ourselves, people, then we must say, oh, Lord, what is man that thou remembers him? And the Son of Man that thou shows faith to him. What is man in himself? The only thing that is left for me and for you ever. If we are on the right place, people, that is to condemn ourselves. Really, oh? That is all that is left for us. And that now that David, that he said, that is now my wish. And that is now a command of me that that Mephibosheth shall eat continually at my table. By all that now was connected with. Because they have to take that boy, that man, and they have to bring him home to his home and on his place again. They have all the time to pick him up, hey? All the time. And then he's in such a palace, where it is so busy, where there is so much to do, and then of to take care for some poor man. For so a wretched man. But David, he said no. Continually, he shall eat bread at my table. Thus, you can realize, the meals were well good on there. Oh, breakfast wonderful. And lunch in the afternoon. And in the evening dinner and supper. Ja, je kan wel imagineren bij een king wat dat is. Later aan, if you read in 2 Kings 4, wat er came at the table of Solomon. Ho, ho, ho. Then you must say, oh. Wat wondervol. Ja. En dat nou zo'n wretched one, dat hij is privileged to sit at the table and to eat there. The bounties of the world. See? Ja. But here it is no much more. Oh, to eat Christ's flesh and to drink his blood. And then to be satisfied to eternal life. To be led to the fountains of that living water. And as sometime that the soul is so filled with the fatness of his house, that the Lord gave himself away for that people. Oh, would he change with the world then? With all the parties and with all the dinners that they have? No. Because the Lord is everything for that people. And that again congregation, again out of free and sovereign grace, and of course, there is what in between. The next time we hope to talk about it, because there came a time that David left the city Jerusalem, and that he became an exile. And then that poor Mephibosheth, yeah? Because what we have heard now, that is all not for justification. But in 2 Samuel 19, then Mephibosheth is cut off totally. And restored on the basis of justice and righteousness into communion with God. Yeah. But if now the first fruit is so precious already, that the Lord give his children, what must it then be if they receive that full assurance for their heart and for their soul, and that they are privileged in their life, that they are sure that it never shall be taken away from them. But that now goes on forever and forever. Job, after that man had said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he talked there about the assurance that the Lord had given him. Everything was almost against him. His wife, his children, his friends, everything was against him. But that assurance that was never taken away from and that had strengthened him and that had upheld him till the end of his life, by all the troubles and by all the afflictions that came up in his life. So it is now with God's people too. But nevertheless, there was joy in the heart of that Mephibosheth, and of course at that moment, when the Lord, when David restored everything to him, he don't know what way that the Lord would be opened for him. But that is not necessary. No, that is not necessary. And we have not to ask for trouble, because they come up selves up in our life. That was also for that Mephibosheth. And now later on, that steward, that Saul, he became an enemy of Mephibosheth. And he had done everything to slander that poor Mephibosheth. But that covenant between David and Jonathan, that was confirmed also for that man. And also Mephibosheth, he dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat come 15 Gilead the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet. But before that, we nog talk a little about everything. Number 190, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shame let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me, give ear and rescue me. 190, 1 and 2. And now that dear boy, that Mephibosheth, he received everything back what he had lost from Saul. And he was privileged to sit at the table of David to bring him there all the time. But he never received back his legs. He stayed lame. And lame, and was lame on both his feet. Yeah. What is now the meaning? That's now the question, eh? That's now the question. That boy, that Mephibosheth, was a man, of course, at that time. He had always to look to his legs. Always. And why? To humble him. To humble him. And it was well that girl that had taken him up in that awful day when Saul and his father died in Gibeah, that girl, she was so perplexed that she let him fall on the ground. But of course, the fall of Adam, that become ours. You read of never that Mephibosheth. Did he say anything to dishonor that girl? No. Become a personal matter. And now the fall of Adam, those lame legs, hey, that refers to the fall of Adam, people. Yeah. And now with lame feet to go through this world, and to live on and on till that we die. And now to understand in a spiritual way what the Lord said once to his disciples in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. If you ask me this evening, can we of ourselves agree with our lame legs? Oh no. No, that is impossible. And there are times in our life that it makes us discouraged. Because there are times enough that we will do something. We will help ourselves. But Mephibosheth, he was lame and boos of his feet. There is also to learn out of that this, that we never have to try to do something without the influence of the Holy Spirit and of the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. To honor him, that means to need him all the time, to lay all the time at his throne, by day and by night. And that there is a continually prayer in our heart. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, uphold me. Lord, give me his grace. Yeah, I desire that I could say it all in English. But that I was privileged, I hope the Lord help me, that I was privileged that I lay my lame feet upon the Lord Jesus Christ. With my lame legs. And then you read about that precious Christ. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. That's now the whole meaning, people. Oh, that it with me and with you all is done for our whole life. But that now only in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are more than victors, eh? Through him who has loved us. And that now on all that people that have lame legs, bows of the legs lame, that now the Lord confirmed what you read in Isaiah 46, and I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And then you read also by the prophet Hosea, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by his arms. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take up the yoke on the jaws, and I laid meat unto them. Thus that is now the whole meaning, and he was lame on both of his feet. That Christ be honored and that Christ be glorified. Oh, let I try not to say it simpler. Too simpler. To have now always need for that Christ. Always. To need him as a savior. To wash and to cleanse me from all my sins. To need him as a prophet, to instruct me. To need him as a priest, to offer for me, and to make intercession for me. And to need him as a king, to rule me. And to bring down all that enmity that is coming up in my heart towards the Lord and towards his way. Oh yeah, my dear people, 'tis so seldom in our life that we agree with the Lord. So seldom. There is always something. Always. And I am fighting my whole life, almost my whole life, and I know that I shall never have the victory. I know that, but still I am fighting. Ye read in the word of God that Jacob, he said, all these things are against me. And what later on? After more than 17 years, not after 17 days, no, but after more than 70 years, 17, then his eyes were opened, and then he did realize that all those things, he was well against all those things, but those things were not against him. When he saw there that Joseph, and when he embraced that son after so many years, oh, then he fainted almost. And then he saw the ways of the Lord. Yeah. And now, and was lame on both his feet. Later on, congregation, oh, then he asked Saiba to place him upon an ass and to bring him to David and to show his sympathy. But Saiba, no, no. He said, let that poor mama sit there. And I shall take the occasion that I received back all that the king had promised to that man. But then later on he said to David, your servant, this was is lame, you know. There was well a desire, but I could not go on the road, no. He could not place himself even on that ass. So poor was he. So lame. But then later on it came out in his favor that he was not an enemy, but that he was a friend of David. And was lame on both his feet. We hope, congregation, that we may learn something of that for ourselves. Yeah. We have to break our legs in our life, and we have to break our arms. We have to break everything. Yeah, and then of course we are dependent. Hey. As long as we not can walk and we cannot use our hands, then we are not dependent. But if our legs broken and our arms are broken, and that now is the way for all God's people, that is now the way. And for flesh and blood, not an easy way, an hard way. We'll keep ourselves up. We will walk on our own legs. We will use our own hands. Yeah, but the Lord, he said, I am doing that different with you. I am different. And if then the day comes that we have to die, oh, then we are so lame on both of our feet that we can do nothing. But then the angels of the Lord came, and they carried Lazarus into the bosom of Abraham. Is that now not easy? Would you now not desire that your legs are broken and your arms broken? Because then we are a subject for free and sovereign grace. Free and sovereign grace. Young and old. Great and small, I shall stop for this evening. We have buried one of our friends today. His place is up empty now, here in the world, but not in heaven. And we are glad that he now had given a testimony before that he left up to his wife, that it was easy in his heart. Oh, yeah. That's not the main thing, people. And in the world dark and in the church it becomes empty. But oh boys, I hope that the Lord work in your hearts in the days of your youth. And that he make those boys and girls to pillars in the church. Oh, spend your life not in the world, boys and girls. And spend not your time to read magazines and all those dirty stuff that there comes up and that is brought amongst the people in the days in which we are living. But would it be a blessing if your father and mother find you upstairs with the Bible before you, and that you were pleading with the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Here thou, you have said in your word that those that seek me early, that they shall find me. In the service of the Lord there is love, there is peace, there is joy, there is everything. And then we receive here in this life already, even that it is crying over our sins and confessing that the Lord is right and we wrong, there is all an opening in, and that give all a sweetness in our heart. Really? And then if the Lord goes on with us and farther, then we say, oh, that love that is wonderful, that is remarkable, that is now everything here, in that veil of tears in which we are living and that we have to go through. And then we have well to live here with lame legs in the world. But oh, then, to find our strength in that King whose legs were never broken because the soldiers came and he was hanging on the cross. But then they saw he was dead. And then they pierced only his side, but not breaking his legs. And he carries now the whole church with all their sins and with all their troubles and with all their sorrow and with all their afflictions and conflicts, with all their burdens, people. And he become never tired of it. And he hath never said to the house of Jacob, seek me in vain. The Lord sanctify the few words. Tis my fool what I have preached this evening, I know it. But though I hope that there was something in it that was to the honor of the Lord and to the rejoicing of a poor, a wretched sinner, that most of the time have no comfort and most of the time have no strength, but that it be to the gladness of their heart. Amen. Lord, sanctify the pure words to our soul and heart, and for our boys and girls, for our young people especially. Oh Lord, bind them at thy throne, make them beggars, make them sinners, make them wrestlers at the throne with Jacob. I shall not let thee go till thou bless me. Bring us all safely home, that we not break arms and legs outwardly. Inwardly it is a blessing. The sooner the better. Oh, be with us. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart the ways of the Lord. Bring us back the next Sabbath day, if it can please thee. Remember that boy that we can say something else the next Sabbath day. Oh, there is nothing too wonderful for thee. Hear us and forgive our sins. For Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 68, the last stanza. They that fear and love the Lord shall Jehovah's friendship know. He will grace to them accord and his faithful covenant show. Number 68, the last stanza. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.